Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website USA Today. Question number one, why are there not more than 88 keys on a piano? Is it A, it was based on the physical reach capacities of humans? Is it B, it was based on the sound capabilities of humans? Is it C, it was based on the cost of construction supplies? Or is it D, it was based on the number of octaves needed for music? Or so, what is the reason for the 88-key limit? What was that anyway? And question number two, how many of the keys on a standard 88-key piano are black keys? Is it A, 52, B, 44, C, 36, or D, 28? Black keys on the standard piano, how many? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of March 31st. Well, it was on this very day back in 1732 that composer Franz Joseph Haydn was born. He's known for helping to develop the classical style. Composer Sergei Rachmaninoff was also born on this day, but his year of birth was 1873. Couple of classical composer B-days today. And it was 56 years ago today, back in 1967, that the Jimi Hendrix Experience began its first British tour. The show featured the very first time that Hendrix set a guitar on fire on stage. In 2008, by the way, the scorched instrument from an onstage burning by Hendrix sold for more than $450,000 at auction. Only makes you blind. Miranda Lambert's Platinum introduces our country music news. It's entitled Influencer, Amy Lou Harris. They're written by Miranda Lambert in Rolling Stone magazine on March 2023 issue. My dad introduced me to Amy Lou, John Prine, Guy Clark, that whole era. When you hear that voice for the first time as a kid, you're old enough to register this feeling of, why do I feel so warm inside? I grew up on Emmy, but it wasn't until I really started getting into music and thinking maybe I'll do this for my life that I reheard her. I knew all the words by heart, but they didn't hit me the same until I really dove into songwriting around age 16 or 17. I think the first influential song was Two More Bottles of Wine, because I was going through the phase of, how do I be a badass and still be feminine? Emmy exuded all of that. Her delivery in a beautiful song like Boulder to Birmingham just rips your heart out. But then Two More Bottles of Wine was, I'm here to party and I'm not going to take it. In fact, my Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata introduces our classical music news. It's titled DNA from Beethoven's Hair Unlocks Family Secret. Genome sequencing reveals answers to questions about the composer's health problems and family history. This is published in WSJ.com by Amy Doxer Marcus on the 23rd of March, 2023. Ludwig van Beethoven's impressive head of hair is yielding new clues about his health problems and his ancestry. Friends kept locks of the composer's hair as keepsakes and some snipped tokens of remembrance at his deathbed. Nearly two centuries later, an international team of researchers said they used some of those strands to sequence Beethoven's genome, the complete set of DNA found in every cell. The researchers reported in a paper published Wednesday in the journal Current Biology that they hope studying his DNA might help determine the cause of Beethoven's progressive hearing loss, chronic gastrointestinal complaints, and severe liver disease, culminating in his death at the age of 56 back in 1827. Historians and medical scholars have long mined Beethoven's journals and letters for clues about his health. They were inspired by a document found a day after his death in Vienna in a hidden compartment of his writing desk. Addressed to his brothers, Beethoven requested that details about his medical ailments be made public after his death. The researchers didn't find a genetic cause for Beethoven's deafness or stomach pain. They found genetic risk for liver disease and evidence of hepatitis B infection, which can lead to scarring of the liver, known as cirrhosis. Researchers in the group also tracked down and took saliva samples for genetic testing from five male Van Beethoven relatives in Belgium. They compared the Y chromosome of Beethoven's genome against that of the five living men from the Van Beethoven line. A male's Y chromosome remains nearly identical to his father's and is passed down through generations. The five living Van Beethovens were related to each other, but not to Ludwig van Beethoven, the researchers found. The researchers reported that Beethoven's genome indicates that his ancestry was more than 99% European. An additional analysis conducted with Family Tree DNA, a Houston, Texas-based commercial DNA testing and genealogy company, indicated that Beethoven's ancestors primarily lived in parts of what is now Germany. Cirrhosis appeared to be the likely cause of Beethoven's early death, said Professor Ian Gilmore, a liver specialist at the University of Liverpool, who wasn't involved in this study. The paper suggests potential causes of the condition, including an inherited iron excess, heavy alcohol consumption, and hepatitis B infection. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Can Songwriting Be Saved? Writing songs for top acts used to be a reliable source of income. Now, writers face trouble making ends meet. This is written by Brian Hyatt in Rolling Stone magazine, February 2023 issue. Writers' fortunes are relics of a long-vanished world where fans drove to Virgin megastores to pay $18.99 for shrink-wrapped CDs. In the early years of this century, piracy and single-song sales on iTunes decimated album sales, and in July 2011, Spotify arrived in the United States. For songwriters, Streaming royalties tend to add up to not much at all. Hobbyist money, really. In 2023, songwriting is more like a lottery than a profession. Like many creative fields, it's been hollowed out, turned precarious, with most practitioners fighting over scraps, while a tiny fraction of ultra-successful winners thrive. The only way to squeeze significant income out of a songwriting credit now is to land a solid hit on terrestrial radio, where lucrative legacy royalty rates still reign, or to get placements in movies, TV, or ads, known as syncs. A lot of songwriters have had to have other hustles, legal and illegal, and are having to make choices between getting themselves to a session and buying lunch or buying dinner. Producers tend to get per-song fees, which are technically advances, against future royalties. They can be significant. According to one industry source, they can amount to as much as $50,000 per song for A-list names. Songwriters typically get precisely zero in advance, and only recently has there ever been discussion of modest per diems to help them survive between hits. Some writers have also begun pressuring producers to cede some of their fees or royalty points, which only seems to work when the writers are in greatest demand. Again, writers are taking all, winners won, with little-known writers hit the hardest. In 2021, a group of 15 prominent songwriters announced something they called the Pact, an open letter in which they pledge not to give publishing percentage or songwriting credit to artists or others who don't actually contribute to songs. It was a noble goal in an effort to fight a practice that dates back to at least Elvis Presley and continues to be common. The same forces that created the credit grabbing in the first place led to its continuation. We like our ability to make different deals for different clients in the free market. For instance, if a big songwriter makes a Justin Bieber song and Justin Bieber wants 20% of the song, how often do big artist hits like that come along? Essentially, many songwriters would rather give away percentages of a potential hit than keep 100% of nothing. Some writers simply see the credit sharing as the cost of doing business. The dire strait of the songwriting business isn't merely a moral issue or even a financial one, writers say. The fact that songwriters have so little incentive to work on what will probably end up an album track has a major effect on the music landscape. It's really hard for someone, especially someone who's struggling, to wrap their head around writing an interesting song and not just go trying to write a radio song. Then all of these albums are coming out that are like 13 attempts at a single radio song. And that's what the album sounds like. How long do you think terrestrial radio is going to stand for? 20 years from now, 30 years from now, is AM/FM radio going to be going strong? That would leave TV, movies, and commercials as the only source of real revenue for songwriters. It's all about sync projects. In those projects, writers will team up with a producer, form what is essentially a fake band, and write songs on demand for streaming shows or commercials. Few in the industry dispute that songwriters are being wildly underpaid, but a viable solution is hard to find.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you. And all your charms.
The Everly Brothers' All I Have to Do Is Dream introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled Hey Doll Baby, Revisiting the Everly Brothers' Enduring Harmonies. This is written by John Blackstone, published in CBS News Sunday Morning on the 26th of March, 2023. In 1957, they were two kids from Tennessee, unaccustomed to being on television. But Don Everly, age 20, and Phil Everly, 18, had a hit, Bye Bye Love. The Everly brothers were young, and so was rock and roll. Rock and roll had a place where it started, said Phil's son, Jason Everly. I mean, it didn't exist. There was no rock and roll, and then there was rock and roll. For Jason and his cousin, Stacy Everly, Don's daughter, the history of rock and roll is family history. Phil died in 2015, and Don in 2021. Now the next generation has assembled a new album of remastered tracks titled Hey Doll Baby. It is not, however, a greatest hits collection, Stacy said. We just found record after record after record. You hadn't heard these songs before? The usual suspects we always heard, like everybody else, right? And then we see, oh wow, they recorded that? How interesting. One song in particular that stands out for them is Gone, Gone, Gone. The album was produced by someone who also knows what it's like to be the child of a rock star, Adria Petty, daughter of Tom Petty. I'm a rabid Everly Brothers fan, she said. I even name my daughter Everly, with my dad's urging. I'm one of those people. Tom Petty died in 2017, but he passed on to Adria his respect for the Everly Brothers. There would be no Crosby, Stills, and Nash. There'd be no Beatles, she said. John and Paul used to play Don and Phil when they tried to figure out their arrangements. When someone asked me why I was doing this, I was like, because Dad wouldn't have existed without them, Adria said. In 1996, when the brothers got the star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, Tom Petty was there. So many people are credited with influencing the rock era, but these guys really did, more so than anyone I can think of just about, he said then. Jason said when they went into the studio to record, say, Bye Bye Love, it started out country and it came out rock and roll classic, and it blew everybody's mind. The Everly song of teenage love and teenage angst somehow became more poignant with their brotherly harmony. By 1960, they were so popular that Warner Brothers signed them to a record-breaking contract. It was the biggest recording contract in music history at the time, said Jason. I mean, $1 million? That was crazy talk. Kathy's Clown became the Everlys' biggest-selling record ever. But by 1964, their sales were dwindling. Things changed, said Jason. The Beatles came along, and music evolved and exploded again in a whole new way. The Everly Brothers continued to tour until 1973, when it all ended suddenly right in the middle of a show when Phil threw down his guitar. They reunited 10 years later, and as Phil Everly put it, their bond remained. In their early years, as Don Everly noted in 1984, rock music was considered a passing fad. Pop music is a fickle mistress and tastes change. They come and go. But tell you what, rock and roll lasted, and that was the thing they were telling us all along. It's never going to last, it's never going to last, but it's still here. And the music of the Everly Brothers still rocks, nearly 7 decades later. And in local jazz and blues music news, we have an upcoming concert, The Color Purple, NC Theater, your Broadway connection, April 22nd through the 30th, 2023, A.J. Fletcher Opera Theater, 1 East South Street, Raleigh. When forced into an abusive marriage, Celia encounters repression and despair, but discovers hope in a group of friends who inspire her to find her voice, discover her beauty, and change her life. With a joyous score of jazz, ragtime, gospel, and blues, The Color Purple brilliantly illuminates the lives of African American women in the South in breathtaking scope. So go to nctheater.com or phone 919-831-6941 for additional detail and ticket information. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, why are there not more than 88 keys on a piano? Is it A, it was based on the physical reach capacities of humans? Is it B, it was based on the sound capabilities of humans? Is it C, it was based on the cost of construction supplies? Or was it D, it was based on the number of octaves needed for music? Correct answer. Answer B, based on the hearing of humans. And the answer to our second question, how many of the keys on a standard 88-key piano are black keys? Is it A, 52, B, 44, C, 36, or D, 28? Correct answer, answer C, 36. As noted in the USA Today 3123 article by Claire Mulroy titled, How Many Keys Are on the Piano? Learn the Black and White Facts of the Classic Instrument. The piano is a favorite instrument for experienced musicians and beginners alike, but it has changed in the digital age. Approximately 234,000 digital pianos were sold in 2021, a 24% increase from 2020. Goodbye are the days of needing a state-of-the-art grand or an upright piano. You can now play a pocket-sized piano on your smartphone or buy a folding keyboard to take with you on the go. Whether you're a novice or have been tickling the ivories for years, here's a refresh on some facts about the piano. How many keys are on a piano? Typical piano has 88 keys spanning just over 7 octaves. There are other smaller keyboards or synthesizers that have fewer keys. Most come in increments of 25, 32, 49, 61, or 72 keys. According to Yamaha, the reason for the 88 keys has to do with the hearing capacity of the human ear. We can hear sounds in the range 20 to 20,000 hertz, but we stop being able to discriminate frequencies around 4,000 hertz. The lowest key on a keyboard registers at about 27.5 hertz, and the highest at 4,186 hertz. Depending on the precise tuning. Adding more keys wouldn't add too much value to the piano because it would be outside the limits of the human ear. Bartolomeo Cristofori invented the piano around the year 1700 after he wanted an instrument with more volume control than the harpsichord. One of Cristofori's three surviving pianos is at the Metropolitan Museum of Art and has only 54 keys. How many octaves are on a piano? There are 7 octaves on a standard piano with 3 extra keys at the bottom, B, flat, B, and C. An octave is a series of 8 notes, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, and C, in the C major scale. Different sizes of keyboards have varying octaves depending on how many total keys they have. And how many black keys are on the piano? Well, there are 36 black keys on a standard 88-key piano. The black keys, of course, represent sharps and flats, and there are 52 white keys. The 88 keys will give you 7 1/4 octaves. 76 keys will give you 6 1/2 octaves. 61 keys will give you 5 octaves. And 49 keys will give you 4 octaves. So, with all this talk about pianos, let's end today's program with Round Midnight, performed by pianist Charles Brown. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.